My mum was great. It's hard for me to imagine someone who was genuinely so warm towards not only her two sons, but to many of the people who she came into contact with. She did her best to provide a good home for us, and her faith in Jesus was firm. I loved her so dearly, and I still miss her very much. And what's even harder to say is that was not always true. When I was younger, as a teenager, I started to disrespect her. Sometimes to her face, often not to her face. But my heart attitude was that, you know, she's just old, she's out of touch. She's not as intelligent as I thought I was. Notice how I say that. And to my great shame, that attitude lasted well into my 30s. I'm so thankful for God using people like Denise and my old youth club leader, so that I came to see her for the woman of God that she was, a woman worthy of honor and respect. And I thank God that I had the opportunity to apologize to her for my disgraceful behavior, for my sinful behavior, and that later in life I was able to work much harder at honoring her. Well, my name is Ian. And we're continuing to look at our series that we've entitled Freed for Good, looking at how following the Ten Commandments set out for us here in Exodus chapter 20 is commandments that are freeing us to lead a good life within healthy boundaries that God has set out for us. So today we're looking at the fifth commandment. You'll find that in Exodus chapter 20. You might just want to turn there. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's just a short verse. But just as you turn there, let me point out to you a couple of things. In one way, verse 12 is very much a transition between the first four commandments and the five that come afterwards. The first four have been thinking primarily about our relationship with God. The following five are going to be thinking about our relationship with our neighbours. Something else just to point out is that along with the fourth commandment that we looked at with Elliot last week, these are the only two that are framed in a positive way, something that we should do, as opposed to the other eight that are things that we should not do. So let me just read for us Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And the word honor there we might think of as also as respect. That's probably a word that we're more familiar with. Nowadays they have pretty much the same meaning in terms of this passage. And so we're going to look at it under four headings. This idea that we have been freed for good respect under four headings: demanding respect, delegating respect, developing respect, and delivering respect. That's demanding respect, delegating respect, delivering respect. Sorry, developing respect and delivering respect. And you've got those on the back of your program if you're keeping notes. And I trust that we're going to see how God has spoken these words in order to demonstrate his character to us and to set us free for a fruitful life under his good rule. First of all, then, demanding respect. Let's be real about this. All of us struggle with respecting those in authority over us. Our primary concern in our relationship seems to be whether we are receiving the respect that we believe we're entitled to, demanding that others give us the respect that we think we have earned somehow. That certainly applies to the relationship with our parents. Pick a number, but from the age of 10 or 11, hands up if you're over the age of 10 or 11. Basically all of you, I think. Anybody who didn't put their hands up. We seem to be obsessed with whether our parents are treating us in the way in which we believe we should be. The same attitude is there for our relationship with our teachers, perhaps our bosses in the workplace, politicians, police officers, doctors. Our focus is not on whether we are treating them with respect. It's on how they're behaving towards us. And we can think of any number of reasons why we don't honour and respect our parents as we should. Perhaps they've made mistakes. Mistakes that have directly impacted on us in a bad way. Perhaps decisions or actions that they have taken that have caused us pain or loss. Or perhaps just not what we wanted them to do. And that can cause us to resent them. It may be we think they're not very nice people. That their character is not perhaps kind or gentle in the way that we would want them to be. Perhaps they're not self-controlled as they want to be. Perhaps they just irritate us. There are many reasons why people do not honour and respect their parents and others in authority. The bottom line is that underlying them all is our own selfish, self-centred heart. Our desire to be in charge. I am the captain of my fate, the master of my soul. And we think that is freedom, wanting that. Freedom because that puts us at the centre of the universe where nobody tells us what to do and everybody treats us as we want them to. We don't worry too much about our attitude to them. This isn't freedom. This is tyranny. This is being an emperor over an empire of robots. That's what our hearts want, and this is highly damaging to us and to everyone around us. And this goes right back to the beginning of the Bible, the story of the human race. God creates Adam and Eve, and he tells them one rule. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Along comes Satan. That, as he's so good at those misleading, leading questions. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Stirring up the hearts of God's first children to follow their own wisdom and desires. All those, underneath that question, there's all those subtle undertones, aren't there? God didn't really get it right. Only you know what's best for you. God's really mean. He doesn't want the best for you. And so that has been our attitude ever since. So, see how many of these are going to strike home. When mum and dad tell you to go to bed at 9 p.m. and you think they're wrong and you're trying to negotiate a later time or throw up all the excuses. I just wanted to tell you something before I went to bed. Or you might go up at 9 o'clock, but you turn out the light and continue to play on your phone until midnight. Our hearts just don't respect their authority. It reveals our heart towards their authority. You don't want to respect them because they should be respecting you and what you want, not what they want. It's just teenagers then, right, isn't it? No. Adults as well. Come on, show us a speed limit and we wonder whether we can drive just a couple mile an hour faster without getting caught. If you see a sign saying don't walk on the grass, we wonder whether anybody's really watching and whether we could actually take the shortcut and go across the grass. If we have to be at work at 8 a.m., we're wondering whether you can just push that to 8:03 because I'm pretty tired this morning. Our natural instinct from any age where we understand authority and respect is to try and break it. or to wonder how close we can get to breaking. Ask any parent and they will tell you this is true. And the Bible calls this inclination of our heart sin. Sin, because all authority comes from God. And so by definition, whenever we don't respect authority, we're not honoring and respecting God. We are sinning against him. I suspect that all of us, however old you are, have had this experience. Someone has made you angry because they haven't respected you. Someone has made you angry because they haven't respected you. And it makes us feel angry, doesn't it? How angry must God then feel to have a world full of people constantly kicking back against his authority, not respecting him, not respecting the structures he has put in place in the world for our good? Because he has done this. Our second point, God has delegated his authority into his creation. God created the world in all of its wonder, as David was praying for us a moment ago. Everything belongs to him, including us. And so it's clear he has full authority over everything. If you create a teapot, if you make it out of clay, you have authority over that teapot. The teapot has no authority. And God's authority is perfect. Every decision he makes is without flaw. Every exercise of that authority is correct. So it should be straightforward for us to honor and respect God, because he makes no mistakes. And God is certainly powerful enough to exert all authority in the universe as he sees fit. And then none of us would have any authority. However, it pleases God that we should take part in his creation as active participants, not merely passive people to whom creation just happens. Bless you. And so God delegates his authority to different groups of people, parents certainly, but to others as well. This shows us how the character of God is, that he would empower us, that he's not a grasping God or a controlling God in that sense. And so after God creates the human race in Genesis chapter 1, he gives our first parents, Adam and Eve, authority over the world. And like any delegation of authority, God's delegations come with an instruction that those who are subject to it are to respect it. They're to respect it because of the person who's given that person that delegation. And so Peter writes, as Helen read to us a moment ago in 1 Peter, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, that's the church. Fear God, honour the emperor. So who are we to show proper respect to? Well, everyone. Everyone. And like any delegation, God's delegations place obligations onto both the person who is going to submit to them, but also to the one who holds the delegation. So for example, a delegation of authority to a teacher places an obligation on their students to obey them, to respect them. Hands up all the teachers or former teachers in the congregation. We know what we're talking about, don't we? We can see this in God's delegation of authority to parents here. Children are to honour their father and mother. There's also an implicit obligation in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, that Paul spells out for us in the passage from Ephesians that Helen read. Let me read this again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Paul, then, being the good lad he is, gives us a good comment on that, which is the first commandment with a promise, which is. Verse 3, so it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And parents, you'll love that passage, don't you? Let's be honest. That's a great passage. You're enjoying that. You're enjoying that a lot because that sells things out. Parents are not so keen on verse 4. Okay, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The delegations from God have obligations on both sides of the delegation. So when God passes authority to parents, he's placing an obligation to respect parents onto their children, but also onto the parents. Do not exasperate your children. And even as we think about that, as we read through the Bible, possibly one of the most frequent authority relationships that God points us to is that between parents and children. And this makes perfect sense, doesn't it? God is ultimately our Father. The relationships that we see in the Bible, the comments that we see in the Bible about parents and children, is being used as a picture of God and his people, God and us. It captures so much of our relationship to him. There's no coincidence he refers to himself as Father. So in part, when we're learning to respect our parents, we're practicing honoring God. We're practicing respecting God. That's true for us as individuals. It's true for us together as a church, as a body of believers. Earlier on in Exodus, the Lord said to Moses this: when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Verse 22. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says: Israel is my firstborn son. The relationship between parents and children is such a great set of teaching moments for us to understand our relationship with God. And whilst earthly parents do not always use their authority perfectly, more about that in a moment, their authority has been given to them by God, in part so we can learn about the character of God and learn more about how to respect him. So how can we do that? How can we work hard at respecting our parents and work at respecting God? Our third point, developing respect. As we've said, we have a natural tendency to rebel against authority. And when you add to that the number of occasions when authority is used in a bad way, then we're frequently going to be in a position where we struggle to honour authority figures, where we struggle to honour our parents. Fortunately, God has not left us without resources that we can access. One of the reasons why Jesus came to earth was to show us what proper honour and respect for authority looks like, to give us an example of what honouring your father and mother looks like. Jesus perfectly honoured his mother and father, just as Jesus perfectly honoured and obeyed God the Father. The ultimate expression of that. The ultimate expression of that was when Jesus followed the Father's will and died for our sins on the cross. How ironic. How ironic that the one who perfectly obeyed the command to honour his father and mother paid the price on the cross for our failure to honour our fathers and mothers as God had commanded, and in doing so, he illustrated his own perfect obedience to that commandment and to all the other commandments. Without the crucifixion of Jesus, we would be faced with paying the price for our sin. We would be convicted of failing to honour our fathers and mothers as God had commanded, guilty as charged, everyone in the room. Yet in his great love for us, Jesus willingly went to the cross to pay for our sins and to reconcile us to the Father, to reconcile God the Father to his children, to us. And then Jesus rose from the dead to the right hand of the Father, with the Father honouring and respecting Jesus, even as Jesus was honouring and respecting his Father. What a perfect picture of what should be happening. Even more than this, God then sends to his people the Holy Spirit to live inside us, to provide us with conviction when we fail to respect our parents, when we fail to respect those in authority over us, to help show us from the Bible what God's will is in this area. The Holy Spirit providing us with fruit of the Spirit, such as gentleness, peace and kindness and self-control, which are such a big aid in following this commandment. Even more so, God puts us in a community of believers called a church, all of us, in which a family can provide encouragement and guidance and, yes, even correction when necessary, when we're thinking about how to respect those in authority. God provides us with prayer. We have access through his Son who died for us. Jesus, who understands how hard that can be to follow authority, and yet who did it perfectly, we can pray to him for strength and wisdom, for insight. God has given us so many ways to help us to obey this commandment. So what are we going to go away with? How are we going to do this? It's all very well understanding the commandment. It's all very well hearing how God has resourced us for it. But what are we going to do in November here in Rotherham? Our final point then. Delivering respect. Honour and respect for our parents, for those in authority, is more an attitude of heart than it is an attitude of submission in a total way or servitude. Our interactions with our parents will be much healthier if we remember the reasons why God has put them there before us. Remembering that before we react or before we open our mouths will aid us greatly. It is hard work. I'm not pretending that it isn't. And yet as we work with this, increasingly we will experience the freedom of healthier relationships. It's true for our relationships with our parents, but also all those who have authority over our lives. Having said that, this certainly does not mean that once we become adults, we should obey all that our parents tell us to do. Very rarely, notice I say very rarely that might even be true for our children. Because sometimes our parents may tell us to do something unwise, maybe even sinful. But this is not an excuse for being disrespectful. There are plenty of ways in which you can disagree with somebody, but still honour and respect them. It may just take a lot more thought and practice. Likewise, parents and others in authority, you have not been given delegated authority from God in order to lord it over your children, to frustrate them, and to be needlessly controlling. Jesus was the king of the universe. However, his attitude was one of a servant, of service to all. Philippians chapter 2. That should be the humble attitude of Christians towards all, yes, even those over whom we have been given authority. I can recall in the workplace just very subtly being very disrespectful to my boss, often to other employees, not to their face. And my boss called me out for it. They said, do you want to be transferred? You know, no harm, no foul. We can transfer you to another department. I was really convicted at that point. I said, no, I'm really sorry. Let's stick it out. That boss is still one of my very best friends. And we have had a fabulous friendship now across over 20 years. But sometimes if we just work at this, if we realize what we've done wrong, we can gather the fruit of a great relationship if we've offered that someone that respect. But it's important that I think I address a couple of specific groups of you, a couple of specific issues. But pin back your ears. This might not include you, but it will include the people around you. You need to know how you can best support and encourage them as they navigate through some of these situations. First of all, and hear me really clearly here, respecting and honour your father and mother, or indeed anybody, never, ever, ever means that abuse is okay or to be tolerated. The fifth commandment does not say that physical, mental, or emotional abuse is acceptable. We've said this before, and we are going to continue to say it. If you are in a position today where you are experiencing any abuse, you must immediately seek safety. If you're at school, go talk to a teacher or somebody who you've seen at the front here at church. We will endeavour to get you to a position of safety. Secondly, for some of us, our relationship with our parents may be broken because of significant sin in our life or significant sin in their life. The fifth commandment does not mean that we instantly need to forgive people and reconcile with them. That's not the same as respect. We are to respect all, but where there are major unresolved issues, they need to be addressed. Christians are called to have an attitude of forgiveness, a heart attitude of forgiveness, but that does not necessarily mean that saying someone is forgiven and trying to reconcile them will be helpful at that point. If they're not sorry for that sin, forgiving them may be, speaking forgiveness may be the wrong thing to do at that point. Yes, we want to seek forgiveness and reconciliation, but we want to do it in an appropriate way at an appropriate time. This is a difficult situation. Again, come and speak to someone at the front if this is something you are struggling with. Thirdly, let me talk to those who no longer have their parents, such as myself, or do not have children, such as myself. As we've said, the relationship between parents and children is one of the ways in which God gives us a model of respect. Therefore, I am convinced that those of us who parents have passed away, or perhaps whose parents are a long way away in another country, should seek out older Christians in the church to take on the role of spiritual parents. As we continue to learn and grow, older brothers and sisters who we look to for guidance and encouragement in our lives, and yes, from time to time, a gentle word of correction, perhaps. I may know no secret of the fact that Joan is one of my spiritual mothers, as she is to a number of you. She encourages me, She prays for me, I know. And yes, once or twice, she's had a quiet word in my ear when I needed a quiet word in my ear. Praise God. That is not that Joan is replacing my mum. But these are people who we can trust to take on some of those responsibilities to help us to continue to grow in our Christian lives. I would encourage all of you, even if your biological mums and dads are around, are to seek out spiritual older Christians in the congregation who can speak into your life. You will not regret it. Likewise, the flip side of that, of course, is those of us without children may find ourselves with, and those with children may find ourselves with opportunities to act as spiritual parents to other kids in the church family. Again, totally clear, this does not mean in any way superseding their fathers and mothers. But let's face it, parenting is an incredibly tough job. And so, with their permission, other older saints may take part. So, for example, Jesus did that in John chapter 19 when he was on the cross. We read how he makes the connection between Mary and his friend John. Jesus says this, John chapter 19. When Jesus saw his mother there, that is Mary, and the disciple who he loved, that's John, standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So we can see even there, Jesus making that kind of connection for us. In being freed for good respect by this commandment, in honouring our fathers and mothers, in respecting those in authority, in respecting everyone, we're going to be greatly helped looking at the example of Jesus. We're going to be greatly helped by looking at the wisdom God has for us in the Bible, in books like Proverbs, in other places. We're going to be greatly helped by prayer, by the presence of the Holy Spirit inside us. And it is clear that society is stronger. All social investigations, society is stronger where these bonds are stronger. Stronger family units make for a stronger society. It's also clear that churches in which this is the norm are healthier churches. And I'm convinced that where a Christian works on this in their own life, their relationship with God improves. Their relationships with their neighbours improve, and there is greater contentment in their life. Even more than that, though, if you've still got Exodus chapter 20 open, look at the second part of that verse. We haven't talked about it yet. This commandment from God comes with a promise. A promise that if you keep this commandment, you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I want to be clear, this is not a promise of extended lifespans or that you will be all property tycoons. It is giving, given the context of the passage, it's giving a clear promise to the nation of Israel, to the people of Israel, to the God's people as a corporate body, that those who follow this commandment will receive a corporate blessing for obedience, whether we're talking about countries, whether we're talking about churches. And that there is great spiritual joy for us, personally, in God's kingdom, when we respect our fathers and our mothers and those around us. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, even as we say, Loving Heavenly Father, we are reminded that you are our ultimate parent. That our big problem of sin is that we do not honour and respect you. Lord, help us to do that in our lives. Help us to honour and respect those around us. Your fifth commandment here frees us from the burden of our sin and points us towards what is a good life? A life where we respect those around us, where we respect those in authority, where we respect our mums and dads, and where we respect you. Lord, each one of us has different circumstances that applies to. It's hard to be specific. Lord, help us to understand the principle and help us to apply the principle of this command that you have spoken into our lives. Because that is good. And that brings us freedom. Amen.